Good morning, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. The heart is a blue.
Little U2 to wake up to, Bo. It's a beautiful day.
That it is, my friend. Just got better for every person listening to the voice of Bob Belts. And I'm Bo Mitchell. And we are, in our own opinions,
Two guys
searching for truth.
Two men in search of their mind.
Exactly. Thank you for tuning in today. We welcome you to our program called You Get the Blessing. And we thank you listeners who are regulars and continually communicate to us that you like what we're doing here and you enjoy meeting the guests we introduce you to each week. It's been fun meeting all these folks, hasn't it, Bob?
It has, and it's kind of fun when people drop by Highline and say, heard you on the radio and decided to come over and check out the church. And so
tell
we always invite everybody.
Church. What time we start today?
10. 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Yeah. Bob Belts, the greatest Bible teacher in history, ever there at Highline Community Church. I'll be sitting there on the back pew because I normally at some point during every sermon need a soda, restroom break. I'm ADD.
You sit in the ADD aisle. That's
really?
Right. That's
so good. If you have that, folks, just come on, sit with me. I'm in the back looking around. And each week I say with great joy that we introduce you to someone that I know will be encouraging to you in your own life and challenging in terms of just hearing what they do with their lives. And Gary Sokol has been a friend of mine for a long, long time. Bob, how
mine
long
too?
Have we known Gary?
Right, 20 plus? Yeah, 20 plus years, easy.
Yeah, probably 1988.
Great to have you with us, Gary.
We knew him when he was 6'6", weighed 2... No, that was...
Oh, that was another guy.
Yeah.
That was another Gary.
No. Yeah. Gary, welcome aboard.
I'm trying to remember, were you with Compa when he first met you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Started March 88.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, I'd have bet that was the other way around. I would have bet you were with us at Cherry Hills and then went and did Compa Food.
Well, to be honest with you, the first time I came to a Christian church was Cherry Hills Christmas Eve 1987.
See, I told you.
And so you're right. I started at Cherry Hills before Compa.
I must have been speaking that night because I spoke every Christmas Eve until 1993, and then they banned me from ever speaking again on Christmas Eve.
But that's why I came back, because you were speaking. See?
You know, somebody didn't like it, and a bunch of other people loved it, and that's why they came. So don't be too hard on yourself.
I'm not hard on myself at all.
You're just stating the facts?
Yeah, just the facts.
Just the facts. All right. Yeah. Well, Gary, we normally launch out by just asking folks to tell us a little about yourselves, a little about your background. Where were you raised, and what was it like around your place?
Yeah. Born and raised in Denver, Colorado. Born 1951 to a family that had three other brothers and mom and dad. Grew up a Catholic. And, of course, way back then, it was all in Latin, so I had no idea what anything was about and didn't understand any about relationship. And that's kind of how home life was. There wasn't a whole lot of talk and conversation. And I kind of tell the story once in a while that, you know, when I grew up, I felt like we all lived in an apartment, my family, and we all had our own apartments in the apartment building. And we only kind of saw each other passing through the hallway. So that's how I viewed relationships for many years.
What schools did you go to?
I went to Mullen for a while till they asked me to leave. And then I went to Cherry Creek High School and graduated back in 1969.
What did you do wrong at Mullen? Firecrackers in the principal's office?
Yeah,
no, we don't need to go.
Yeah, there. It was just a number of things.
Bob Mastin and I at TJ about 1967 started campaigning for Class Clown.
And yeah, so we had, competing. You were, weren't you?
I meant competing. Yeah. I said, well, campaigning also.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did plenty worse than you did, but
I don't know.
They didn't boot us.
Yeah, they booted me.
It's all right.
Yeah, hey, it's all right.
Look at all the lessons you learned.
I learned many lessons.
So, what point in this journey did you decide? Wait a minute. What this guy's saying about himself here in terms of Jesus Christ may be something I need to consider.
You know, it was 1987 that I was living with a girl. I was running a restaurant at the time. Life was all about parties and rock and roll. And she asked me to leave and never come back. And it was during that time, for some reason, that I picked up a Bible and started reading it, and the Lord just showed me that we're all created in His image. We all have value. The scriptures that really stuck out to me was about love and acceptance, the poor. I grew up in a family that was fairly prejudiced, you know, not just against color, but against economics. And the Lord just, you know, he just popped it. The scripture popped that He cares about the poor. I became poor. I mean, when my girlfriend kicked me out, I had nothing. You know, I was hiding money from my ex-wife in her account, so she kept all the money. The house was in her name. The cars were in her name. I was almost, you know, I was basically homeless for a day or two, and it was just a crazy point in my life. But that's when Christ became, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know that Christ really became real, and to me, until I started going really to Cherry Hills to Bob's Bible study way back then, and I was working at Compa Food Ministry, mm-hmm. and he used, you know, your friends and my friends, Bob Wolfolk and Ken Roberts and the Jack LaPietras and the Luises. Those guys spoke into my life. They cared about me. They loved me. The guys at Men's Bible Study would come up and hand me a check, hand me cash, and say, you know, the Lord cares about you, so do we. And so that whole group of people just really taught me about the love and compassion that we should have for one another as believers. And that I needed to have care and compassion for those that were poor and those that of color, and they all had value. In my life, they didn't have value before. So it was a radical shift in my life in 1987.
So you're in your late 30s at that time, divorced, almost thinking I'm on the streets. All this so far has added up to a big, solid zero in terms of life and doing anything good.
I think I was into negative numbers or real close to it. So not zero.
So you've spoken this already, but say even more directly to people that are listening that feel like that this morning, and they're just feeling like, hey, this ain't working, and I need some answers here pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that people really understand what they're missing in life. They're just lost, and so I would ask them to consider checking out who Jesus Christ really is, because what He's brought to me is value. He's brought to me love. He's given me a purpose for my life, and I think too many folks are out there just struggling, you know, swimming against the tide, doing things just to fill an emptiness, and nothing's going to fill it but the love of Christ. And then the body of believers that come around you. I mean, that's, if you want to talk about family, you know, the Bob Wolf folks, the Luises, the Jacks, the John Rodriguezes, I mean, you know, the Dave Meserves, those are guys who are my family now.
You know, one of the things I was thinking this morning, it's interesting, I was thinking about a conversation that I think I'm going to have with someone in the future, and somebody that I've been praying for, actually, you know, that doesn't have a relationship with God right now, and I was thinking what this guy needs to hear is for me to say, you've got to forget everything you think you know about what Christianity is. I mean, so many people have a lot of misconceptions, or they've had bad experiences, or they, you know, maybe equate, they can't get through the rubble to get to the person of Christ, and you know, you got to forget. You got to kind of push all of that stuff that out of the way, and take time to really look at Jesus. And now, this friend needs to hear that from me. And I'm sure there's people out there driving down the road today that's it's a hurdle. You know, there's a, you know, bad experience, something in their past. But in your life, you were able to kind of get past that and get to the person of Christ.
There was a small group that went to Cherry Hills that worked for me at the restaurant. I mean, one of the gals worked for me, and I called her when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and she said, Sokol, we've been praying for you for 2 years, and we're about ready to take you off our list. You know, plus at that restaurant, a lot of guys from Cherry Hills and South Prez used to come down. You know, we hired kids from seminary to work at the restaurant. So it wasn't that I saw them as great Christians, but somehow I must have seen Christ in them. And that's what, you know, the hard part is we look at Christians for our, you know, that they're the ones that are going to bring us to Christ, and it's not, we need to see Christ within us.
I've always viewed you as faithful and tender and dialed in and friendly and together. And you're saying you didn't feel any of that stuff when we met in the late 80s.
Yeah, I might be a lot of those things, but I'm still not sure I'm together 100%. I'm still learning, you know, I'm still growing and still changing. And that's the cool thing about walking with Christ. At least I kind of know where I'm walking towards. And so it's exciting. So, Boat, you know, Betty would tell you, my wife would tell you that sometimes I'm a good schmoozer, and you don't always, you know, with a good schmoozer, you don't always see what's real. You see what I project. So, thanks.
I think I always saw the real you and thought you were great. And I really like what you're saying about how you have now started ministering to those you even used to criticize. That sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it? Out of the scripture. But how did that take place? How did that develop where all of a sudden you're not only called off the bench to be a Christian, but you're called to the front lines to get involved in some of these really cool ministries around town?
You know, it really turned out where I thought I had a job lined up, and I mean, I was making donuts. I mean, I, you know, college education, been a banker, ran restaurants, and here I am making donuts, and I thought this guy was going to hire me, and so I quit making donuts, and I had a free day, and somebody from the Bible study said, why don't you go down and volunteer at Compa? Well, the job got pushed down 2 weeks, and so I volunteered at Compa for 2 weeks. And
tell them what that is.
Compa is a food ministry that provides food to food banks and churches across all of Colorado, really. And way back then, there were like 13 food banks, and now they're helping, you know, over 100 food banks, 150 food banks. And so I'm just down there collecting food and delivering food and rubbing elbows with people of color and rubbing elbows with people that are poor, and they're hugging on me and loving me and praying for me. And so it just became, then, you know, Bob was gracious enough back then to meet with me once a month and kind of have breakfast or lunch, and he kept saying, Sokol, if that's where the Lord has you, you need to stay there. And after a while, he said, if they don't pay you, then you need to go find a real job. And they ended up giving me a real job. So I stayed at Compa Food Ministry for 9 years.
And Gray Nair, one of my great buddies, is sitting somewhere listening to this program thinking, we played in a big golf tournament together last summer, 4 days.
Yeah, you did.
And I never hit a shot the whole time, and we finished dead last in the whole tournament, and I'm looking at these guys who are non-athletic drunks saying to myself, they all beat me. What's the lesson here? So I had a little plaque made up for my office that says dead last. My son pointed out, Gray doesn't think that's as funny as you do.
But Gray's been involved with Compa for many years.
Yeah, for, you know, not from the get-go. Old Hal Goble.
Hal
the Gobe, and you know, some of those guys were involved from the very beginning.
Well, they're great people, but you came and really put motion to that deal and some meat to the hoof there. So, well, congratulations on having those years and those memories.
Yeah, well, thanks. And you know, I was just blessed to be used by the Lord in that endeavor.
So, talk a little bit about your transition then. You know, and kind of what happened after.
Well, after that I really went to work for Amoco Oil for a couple of years. And Gene Kissinger, the pastor out at Cherry Hills, invited me to put together the golf tournament for him back in 1988. And I said, Gene, I haven't been involved in the city for a long time. What's kind of going on in the city? And he said, Sokol, I'm too busy. I don't have time to tell you. And I says, well, then you need to hire me to kind of run the city, and you run the world. You know, and we'll win it for Christ's sake. And so that's really how
it is. Is that what's wrong with the world? Gene Kissinger's running it? No.
So Cherry Hills took a flyer on me and hired me. And so now what I kind of do is I oversee whatever Cherry Hills does with the urban poor. That's what I get to operate and run and encourage. And I still get to hang out with all those guys and have lunch and breakfast and play golf. And So,
you do a little more than that.
Yeah, what are some of the things that are going on that you guys are involved in the city?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of things. We work with a ministry that is working with women who are involved in sex for sale trade. We're also doing some Bible studies at a halfway house that we just started, doing some work in the prisons. You know, we work with ministries that work with mentoring and tutoring. You know, we support churches. That's one of the big things for me because, you know, Bill Hybels talks about, you know, the hope of the world is the church, and I believe that because the church is there 24/7, and they need to be the light that shines in the darkness in each community. So I believe that, you know, our support, our people need to get plugged into those churches. Not that they need to quit going to their church, but they just need to get involved in the activities of the urban churches. And come alongside of those guys, get to know who the pastors are, get to know who the youth leaders are, support them because those guys, you know, they're doing it all by themselves. At Cherry Hills, we have a pastoral care, you know, we have counseling department, we have guys that do weddings, we have guys that do funerals. When you're working with the urban churches, they're doing it all.
Yeah, and it's amazing how that's day-to-day, hands-on, grinded out down there, and the guys you mentioned earlier, some of the most faithful, hardworking people. Those guys have been down the city for 30-plus years, almost every one of them.
Yeah, and I believe this because, and Cherry Hills from day one, I think, has been involved in the city. That was part of their tenet. And, you know, Bo, I know you were part of that, and Bob, you were as well.
Yeah,
and
I think Bo was really kind of the link because I can remember when he, you know, Bo went to seminary, and those guys all came in and kind of taught a class on city ministry, and I think that was really some of the initial connections where we started hooking up. And
I remember they made us as part of the class go down there to John Hicks's coffee shop,
which is still going, which is amazing.
Yeah,
too.
Network Coffee House.
Yeah,
Network Coffee House, and we were just supposed to sit there and engage different customers, clients that would come in there on a regular basis. And I was just thinking, I am such a stupid white guy from the suburbs. I don't have a clue the pain of what's going on down here in the city. So I did start learning myself there in the early 80s, about when Cherry Hills Church was starting, but I don't remember being the reason that came out to our church. I remember crediting Jack and Louise and Bob and Ken and what was Vanderlyn's name, Pastor?
You know, I don't think
Ron.
Think,
I think.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever knew him.
And then
Dennis Noble
came in his spot,
yeah,
I believe.
But. And Luis, but those guys are still there because of the support of suburbia. I mean, that's why they're still involved in ministry. They have a great love for their people, their community, but
yeah,
they're there because
churches and you know that have the resources can really help those guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I will say this too, joking about Kissinger. Kissinger is the one that came to us and said, hey, how about I head up missions? We were like, good idea, because we were moving so fast on everything else.
Actually, true story, he asked, what can I do? And we didn't have anybody doing missions. So we said, well, why don't you do missions? And he's ended up, you know, being like an all-star.
All-world. Yeah. But I remember you jumping in there with him. So you guys, to me, were
got a great
ones
history.
To get credit for plugging us into all that stuff. But it like the name of our show, you do get the blessing when you do that stuff, don't you?
That's exactly right. You know, if you read Galatians 6, 9 and 10, you know, it talks about don't give up doing good. Yeah. You know, don't, because you're going to reap a harvest of blessings, you know, when you continue to do good. And it also, there's a exhortation there to make sure and do good to the family of believers. Yeah. And so it's not that we don't do good to the world. We need to be involved in that. We need to minister to the poor, no matter whether you believe or not. But we also need to really take care of our brothers and sisters in the faith.
Yeah, you know what else that passage says? It says that he who is instructed in the word should share all good things with the instructor. And Gary just said that I was really influential in his early life. So I'm wondering, what do you got for me today,
a sandwich?
Gary?
He's going to buy you a sandwich. I like one translation says that Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing what is right, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. So it says you don't get constant feedback from everything you're doing, but just keep it up and you will. And in due season, the blessing will come to you. So that's why our listeners, we say, okay, you're meeting our friend today, Gary Sokol. Here's what he's doing. Write down how you can get in touch with him and get involved, because we promise you in advance, you'll get the blessing if you jump in. So how can people help you and Gene and everything you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, you know, I do work at Cherry Hills Community Church. I'm on staff there, and anybody that has any questions about faith, about Jesus, about the poor, they're more than welcome to give me a call and talk to me over there. But I'd also encourage you guys, you know, anybody out there.
And if they're looking for a good church, you could send them to Highline.
Yeah, that's one of the good churches around. You got it. There's a lot of great churches.
Milton, we got 10 o'clock, Highline, Arapahoe, and University. But go ahead. What were you saying about the other church?
You know, Dave Meserve's got Urban Sky. That's another good place to plug into.
Lots of great places around town.
But I would also encourage them to take a look at the ministries and the churches that exist in the city, ones that don't have the resources that we do out at Cherry Hills, and to get plugged into there, because you know, we can't win the city all at once. We can't. Cherry Hills can't do it all. So if we would each take a neighborhood in the city, then we could win the city for Christ. So it's one neighborhood at a time is what we need to be looking at. So that would be my encouragement. And if you want to know how to do that, they can call me at Cherry Hills, and I'll give them some leads and help them along the way.
Great.
What's the phone number?
303-791-4100.
791-4100, Gary Sokol. Give him a call, and you can tell he's a gentle soul, but he's also tough. He's in the mix. He's grinding it out down there where it is a little more complicated than it looks. So,
I'm a city guy that has a heart for suburbia.
Amen. I'm right with you. I can't well, we got a couple of new things old Mark Clibby and I've launched lately that are going to be fun, just to give back what we can and not grow weary in doing what's right. So appreciate you quoting that scripture. What the heck's Lori doing today? Do you know?
Well, how are we doing, Lori?
I think she's lost us. So again, we've said this before, but I come back to that scripture where very confusing to the listeners, just like this may be, but Christ himself says, you know, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was in prison. You came to visit me. I was naked and you clothed me. And everybody's like, sorry, that wasn't us. What are you talking about? Makes no sense. And Christ says,
whatever you've done to the least of these, my brothers, you've done unto me. That was Mother Teresa's big verse, by the way. She would always see someone in need and she would remember that verse. And, you know, she would see someone, you know, perhaps extremely poor, living in poverty, and would say, there's Christ in a desperate situation. And so for her, very literally, to reach out and minister, you know, she had that connection that she was doing it unto Christ. So it's a great passage.
So I actually had friends in my past 40 years commit suicide just because they felt so desperate in their own lives. I can remember one guy just needed to be under the care of a physician, obviously, but $8,000 in debt, committed suicide. Another guy, family on food stamps, committed suicide. I was just thinking, if they could just have waited and gotten a little help themselves and gone and seen some of the conditions that you see all the time, Gary, just to bust loose from that thorn of comparison and had them so depressed and so discouraged, they may still be alive today.
How about, you know, poverty is relative to each of our own situations. And so what happens is they've just lost hope. And really, if they would seek out somebody who really understands the Lord, you know, or church, then they might understand the hope that we have, that we live for, that there is something to live for. So
well put. Yeah,
it is, and I think that's what a lot of those guys are doing in the city is they're giving people hope.
You bet. And I know LaPetra has told me, Pastor Jack LaPetra has said he's had people in his church come back and say, okay, I've received Christ. I've been a Christian now 3 years. I've been coming to church every week, and I'm still broke, don't have a job, and live in terrible conditions. So tell me again, why am I doing this? So it's not about just rubbing a lamp and a genie that goes poof and things change, but it starts in here like it did for you. It changes in here, and then all of a sudden we do have a perspective, a balance, and things do change for the better, and we do have hope.
Yeah, it's work, but it's fun work.
Amen. Well, you're good at it, friend, and we are blessed to have you as a partner in this journey.
Well, thanks for having me here and letting me share a little bit of my story.
Absolutely, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in again. And, Bob, we'll see you next Sunday.
Absolutely.
What time's church today?
10 o'clock.
Which one?
Highline. Call Gary Sokol at Cherry Hill so he can tell you how to get to Highline.
Gary, thanks for being on the program. We'll see you all again next week right here on KOA. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful